Welcome back, everyone, to Perspective. Disha and I are so excited and grateful to be here with all of you listening in. Thank you so much for giving us the opportunity to share our experiences and perspectives with you. If you enjoy our podcast, please support us by subscribing and leaving a comment. We would love to hear your feedback so we can work towards making this podcast better. It will truly mean the world to us. For this episode, I have my first guest joining us today. And I'm beyond excited to have her here with us. I'm feeling very giddy about this. She is a world-renowned rescue medium, psychic medium, energy healer, attachment removal specialist, metaphysical minister, master in metaphysical science, spiritual teacher, published author of three amazing books, and in my opinion, one of the best in the world at teaching these modalities. After 20 plus years of training, development, and teaching, she is living her soul's purpose of providing hope and healing to all those in need in both the physical and spiritual realms. Her unique abilities extend globally and have created a path for humanity to advance our understanding of the spiritual world. She is a pioneer in rescue mediumship, and through her teachings is providing all of us with the opportunity to connect to the same abilities we all have within. On my spiritual journey, I found my way to her. Her help, support, and guidance was life-changing for me. She trained me in rescue mediumship and attachment removal and connected me to abilities I didn't even know existed in our world. Because of her, I found my purpose in this life. I'd like to welcome Amy Major. Amy, thank you from the depths of my soul for being here today and for all the work that you do. You truly are an angel on earth.
No. That was so sweet and so amazing. That was an amazing introduction. You made it all up, really. You know, working with you, you know, was a truly an amazing experience for me as well. Because I really, really love meeting individuals through whichever means how we meet that are truly gifted. And I saw your gift right away when we first met. I go, ooh, this one's going to be fun. And we've had a great relationship since. So I'm so honored to be here. Thank you.
Thank you so much. So let's just dive into the questions here, if you don't mind.
I don't mind at all.
So first, maybe just tell us a little bit about yourself. I know I covered quite a bit over there
that was a lot. You know, it's how I tell everybody in the metaphysical is you are who you are. Your gifts are your gifts. Your skills are your skills. But that it doesn't make you who you are. That doesn't kind of be the epitome of your essence, of your soul. It just kind of is your projection out to the world and how the world will view you based on what you do in the world. So what do I do in the world? Because who I am is a little weird. So what I do is just as strange, but, you know, I developed myself as a medium, as an intuitive and psychic, but I also went into channeling and receiving messages from the spirit world. I also do energy healing because I learned how to master the art of energy manipulation, transmutation, working with reprogramming of energy. So I went in so many different directions as a medium. But how did I know I was a medium? That's a long story throughout my childhood and into my teenage years and young adults and, you know, which I could tell you guys in a bit. But once I did know that I was a medium, I felt it as a challenge more than anything else, because here I was out of the military, very grounded, strong individual, and I'm being told that I can communicate with the other side. I saw it as a challenge because that's a huge responsibility to not only communicate, but to be an advocate, a communicator, a presenter of the spirit world. That was a huge responsibility that I wasn't sure I was ready to take on, because I really didn't know anything about the spirit world. And so you kind of get thrust into that level of responsibility. And I think a lot of people have that reluctancy of getting into mediumship because of that. They're afraid, am I good enough to do this? And I think we all have those moments of insecurity. And it took me years to get through that. But once I did, because the spirit world would not let me stop, they kept pressuring me, do more, do more, do this, do this, do this. And I just went with it. And so I do a little bit of this, I do a little of that. I find myself to be of service wherever I'm needed, and that can change day to day. So yeah, that's kind of what I do.
Yeah. So how old were you when you first experienced something that you realized that you were different than others?
Five. Actually, I had been communicating with voices in my head since I was like 2 or 3 years old. And I knew that I was different, but I couldn't put my finger on it. I didn't know how I was different, but I knew I was different. I used to have a lot of recurring dreams that I found out were past life dreams. I knew of past lives. I had memories in my waking state of past lives. I had astral projection when I was a kid. I was never in class in school. I was just like, look out the window. Shh, there I went. I'd come back at like the end of class. I'm like, oh, thank goodness the teacher didn't call on me because I wasn't there. I was not astrally there. So I just knew that there were things about me that were different. Not only did I feel I was different, I was told I was different from those voices. They kept saying, you're different. You're here to do something big. We can't tell you exactly what it is, but just know it's really, really important.
Right.
Kind of just left it at that, you know, and so it's just when I realized that I wasn't the same as everybody else, I went inward. I kind of isolated myself. I felt scared and alone because I didn't really have anyone to talk to about it. My family was not supportive, even though I found out years later my mom's a medium. But it wasn't like you can just go out and tell people, hey, look what I can do. It felt very lonely and frightening to have that realization of who you are because you know you're different. And it's not a safe thing to be different in this world. We're all trying to kind of group together and be the same. It's a safety net. And so when you do feel that isolation and different from everyone else, you kind of just become silent and quiet. And that's what I did. I became a very quiet individual that became very introverted from that experience.
And that's what kind of was hard for me as well. The hard part was when you figure out what's really happening, it's those closest to you understanding what's really happening as well and how they react to it. And sort of how did you like, I guess you just talked about it where you just isolated yourself from everybody for the most part, but how did they react to that?
They didn't because they didn't know. I
Okay.
wouldn't talk to them.
Yeah, it's hard for a child at that age to comprehend what's happening and like, you know, make and you know, really fully realize what's going on. So then you just kind of shut down and like dissociate yourself, kind of.
We do. We really do. And but then we kind of go in and say, well, it's just a fantasy in my head. Because, you know, when I don't know about guys, but girls, from the age of 13 to 18, we have a lot of fantasizing going on in our minds, a lot of imagination, kind of go into the werewolves and vampires and you know the metaphysical and the spiritual and the supernatural. We start fantasizing a lot. So you start telling your mind, this is just a fantasy. I'm just making something up because this can normalize my situation. And it is just something in my head. And so I did that for many years, probably until I was about 19, 20. I'm just saying, no, these are just voices in my head, and I'm just going to let them be. And they're very comforting, very loving. And yes, spirits are telling me I could talk to them, but I'm like, nope, it's not real.
Yeah, it's
And
easy just to dismiss it, right? And be like, okay.
you do. You're like, oh, I'm nutty. You know, that's just the way it is.
And
And
that's,
so
you know,
on
that's the thing,
else.
right? Like people, like for me, when all of this started a few years ago and I couldn't contain it anymore, it obviously starts to show on the surface as mental health, anxiety and depression and
Right.
attacks on people that are closest to me. And, you know, of course, being the way that we're conditioned in the society, we're told to go see a doctor and turn to medical science. But what was really happening underneath the surface was beyond what medical science can explain or understand. And I only started to understand it better once I started to connect with you and see the deeper story behind what was happening. And you know, I've been told on a surface level that, you know, I need psychotherapy, that I need medication, that I'm schizophrenic,
Right.
that I'm delusional, and that the only way I can fix all of this is with medication. But the only way it started to get better was when I started to step away from the medical science and look into the spiritual side of things. And that's when I started to heal. So how do you approach that? How did you approach that in your life?
Well, I often tell people that medical science doesn't know everything. They study the physical, as I've studied the metaphysical. There are many things out there that cannot be interpreted or understood through physical means. Actually, there's more that you can't see than you can see.
Correct.
So if you start looking at the aspect of the invisible, which are our gifts, our sensations, our psychic energy, our spirit form, things that we can see, then we start addressing them and saying, well, it's not physical, at least I don't think it is, so let me go into the invisible, the non-physical, and that's where we go into a spiritual means. Look at every aspect before you just categorize yourself as saying, I'm crazy, which so many people throughout the years, generations have been doing, saying, well, let's look at it from the other side of the coin. What is it that we don't understand about this? What is it that we can understand through non-physical means? And that's the spiritual and psychic. So when we go down that avenue, everything starts to make sense. Everything starts to unfold and show you that everything that's been happening to you is very normal in the metaphysical. And when you start feeling that there's nothing wrong with you, then all that depression and anxiety start to fade away because you now have more acceptance of self. And that's really what's going to pave the way for the future of growth.
Yeah, but I think at some point, everybody does go through that, right? You deny you have these abilities. And then once you come to a point where you cannot deny it anymore, and then it manifests as depression and anxiety, and you really can't just, you know, put up with the facade anymore. And then you have to really, you know, look at these other spiritual means to realize who you really are and what.
A majority of people that actually have mental health issues are actually just neglecting themselves.
Yeah. Correct.
Yeah.
They're just not listening. They're being told what to do. It doesn't fall in line with who they are. Yeah. They feel that resistance and rejection. They start rejecting and judging themselves. They start feeling rejection from everybody else. Creates an anger, a sadness, a depression. And then it just spirals from there. And it usually starts very early on.
Yeah. And we naturally, as humans, we obviously will look outside of ourselves externally to figure out a solution to the issue. But we never take the opportunity to start looking within ourselves because all of the answers are already there. But it takes time for people to come to that realization. And some people don't come to that realization at all whatsoever, unfortunately.
Yeah. And then I think people like you and this information out there, you know, if people come across it, then they can relate and seek help. Like for me to really accept what was happening to me, I think my conversation with you and my talks with you really helped me accept myself and all the experiences I was having and really gave me that push. Sometimes you just need somebody that will give you that push. And
I always tell people you need the not the
help, a helping hand.
Yeah, you need someone to give you the approval.
Yes.
And you need someone to say this is okay.
But you can do it yourself too, but it's incredibly hard. But it's you know.
We've been trained throughout our lifetimes to not actually listen to ourselves, but to listen to authorities over us.
For sure.
We trust in those authorities. And when they tell us that we're not supposed to be that way, we follow along with that.
Yep.
So that's when, just as myself, I went inward because I was afraid to be judged by everyone that I knew would judge me. And so I just didn't say anything. Yep. It was a very, very lonely childhood for me because I remember around age 7 or 8, I just got quiet. And my brothers and sisters never really knew why. It is whenever, and I didn't know how quiet it was until somebody had asked them in our 30s, oh, what was Amy like growing up? All of their responses were the same. She was really quiet. Yeah. She never talked. I talked an ear off. I was very animated when I was very young, but then when I had that realization that I was different, 7 or 8 years old, I shifted, and I changed, and I got very quiet, and I never opened up. I think I was about 30 before I finally started finding my voice again. It took that long.
Yeah.
For
So
me.
if we fast forward to your like sort of mid-20s and 30s, how did you train and develop yourself when you realized that you had these abilities and you came closer to connecting to your purpose?
Well, it was actually, I was 22, 23 years old when I actually went in for an astrology reading, and I thought I was going in for a horoscope. I didn't know anything about astrology. And she starts reading this circle with all these like squiggly lines on it. And she starts telling me about my past lives. And I was like, I knew these things and she knew them too. And I'm like, looking at her going, what? And so I was like freaking out. And then not only that, but she told me things about my personality, things I've never told people. And then all of a sudden she's like, you were born a psychic. And I'm like, looking at her like, what? You were born a psychic. Not only are you going to do this work, but you're going to be very well known for doing this work. And I thought she was crazy at the time because it's like me, you know? And so I'm like, there was a psychic center right on the street that I used to drive home in every day. And it was called the New Millennium Psychic Center. And my voices in my head kept saying, you need to go in there. I'm like, I'm not going in there. And they're like, you've got to go in there. I'm arguing with voices in my head about going into a psychic center and realizing the weirdness of this all. I felt like that's it. I'll go in. And I said, if they confirm that I'm a psychic, I'll believe it. And then I'll study and I'll learn. And I went in there and the lady who runs the show, she wasn't even there. She was busy. So they brought somebody else and I'm thinking, oh, she's not gonna know anything. I'm not going to get what I'm looking for. And then all of a sudden she does the cards and the first thing out of her mouth is, you know, you're psychic. Like, so I like, okay, that's it. I will believe this. I will believe I'm psychic. Okay, great. The whole gypsy with a crystal ball thing, sure. And so I started training to do tarot cards. And within 6 weeks, I was a trained reader, is reading at the center. 6 weeks. It came to me so naturally. So I just started developing. And then I heard about a spiritualist church in the area. Like spiritualism, like is that like a cult or something?
That's what most people think.
And I'm like, what is this? And I go, it's like a regular church service. It was very loving and it was inspirational. And I call my dad. I'm like, Dad, I found this church and they're really great. And this is, and you know, we're doing like seances in a temple. Not the right thing to say to your dad when you're in your 20s. He was freaking out thinking I joined some cult. And he's like, Amy, I know you're in a weird place. You're all alone. And like, it's okay. It's okay. I trust them. And then I learned about mediumship. And I'm like, oh my God, people can talk to the dead. This is amazing. And the voices, you can do that. I'm like, no, I can't. Like, you can do that. I'm like, no, I can't. They're like, yes, you can. I'm like, no, I can't. And then they said, what the heck do you think you're doing right now? And I'm like, and I stopped for literally 5 minutes in this frozen pause of, oh my. And I had the biggest epiphany of my whole existence in my life. And it was, I've been talking to spirits this whole time. It's like I knew when I was a kid, I shut it off, and now it was all in full force. And they're like, you are supposed to do this work. I'm like, you got the wrong lady. It's no, move on. I'm good, really. I don't need this. I was so reluctant, I couldn't even tell you. And they're like, no, you're supposed to do this work. I'm like, nah. So
yeah.
I would say 2 years for them to finally talk me into it. And I said, fine, I'll do mediumship. I think it's wonderful. I've been attracted to anything regarding heaven or God or spirituality. I always loved it as a kid, but I was terrified of, like I said, that responsibility. of connecting. What if I get it wrong? What if I hurt someone's feelings? What if I'm not there to help someone enough? I was more afraid of what I would do wrong rather than what I would do right. And I think that was just my childhood and my abuse of my childhood growing up of thinking I just wasn't good enough. And so I just pushed it away until finally I couldn't anymore. Voices got louder. And I got more and more inspired to do the work. And then that was my mid-20s and joined the spiritualist cult and started just in development circles, and my career kind of just took off from there.
Right. So now you've been told that you're a psychic, you've been told that you're a medium. What is the difference between the two?
Well, a psychic is someone who can actually read energy on a third dimensional linear timeline, space, time, matter. So we can read energy in a space, we can read energy in time, we can read energy of matter, but it all has to be within the third dimensional space. Mediumship is using your psychic ability of reading all types of energy, but then be lifted and ascended up to the fourth dimensional. So we can read anything in what we call the astral plane, which is fourth dimensional. A lot of people call it the spirit world, but there's actually so much more in the fourth dimensional plane than just the spirit world, as we will discuss. And so when we elevate our vibrational frequency into the fourth dimensional plane of existence, we now start reading outside physicality. And so mediums are we are the intermediaries of being able to connect to spirit world, fourth dimension, and bringing that information down to third dimension. So the advocates, the messengers, the communicators, the ones that are able to shift our vibrational frequency between dimensions.
So a medium is a psychic, but a psychic is not necessarily a medium.
Correct.
Okay.
Yes. You have to be psychic. I mean, think of stepping stones. Psychic is your base. That's your foundation. Your foundation has to be strong. So anyone who wants to be a medium, anyone who wants to be a rescue medium, anyone who wants to be a channeler, you have to start with psychic training first. It's your foundation of everything else that's going to grow from it. Like a tree, it's your base. And then from there, because you need thick roots, strong roots, your roots are how you feel, your core, what you want to believe, what you don't believe, your experiences, all within the psychic realm. And then you grow from there, your branches. Do you want to be a medium? Do you want to be a channeler? Do you want to be a rescue medium? Do you want to be anything out there? I mean, there's a lot out there, cosmic, you know, advocate. There's so many branches that come off of the psychic. So yes, you have to be a psychic to be a medium. But you can also just be the base. You can just be a psychic and not grow any of those branches from that, because you just get comfortable. There's enough work in the psychic realm that you don't need to, but you can if you decide to.
And that's where I was so overwhelmed, because I'm feeling my intuition's telling me, do this, do that, no, do that, no, do this. And
yes,
that sort of internal battle that I have, it kind of gets in your way a little bit. And
well, when you know, when your soul's done all those things before in other existences, which are all happening right now, that's even weird. You know, you can go in all these different directions. And so when you know you can, because you've done it before, or you are doing it, your consciousness is already doing it, that leads you to the question of, what should I do?
Yeah.
What did my soul decide to do in this existence to understand this form of intuitive work? Because you may be a medium in this life, but in another existence, you may be only an energy healer or a shaman. So choose the branch wisely, or choose many, but always go inward and say, what do I feel is right for me right now? And that's usually what's pulling you. What do you feel the most passionate about right now? And do it.
Yeah, and but I find that changes over
it may the, change.
The time. It yes. changes so quickly as you go through the different modalities.
And there are so many, because there are so many things we can learn. That does not mean you have to learn them all in one life. Patience. Oh my God, that was like the word that I despised hearing when I was developing. And my guides would be like, Amy, patience. I'm like, because we go through that moment of, I want to learn everything right now, right now, right now. And now I'm dealing with that with a lot of the students is, I want to know everything you know. I'm like, well, let's go almost 30 years into your development and you'll know everything I know. But that's how long it took for me to learn everything. But it's
But
like patience.
you specialize in rescue mediumship.
I do.
And that's what you've pioneered in. And
yes.
It's amazing. I've experienced it with your courses. And so how do you help somebody as a rescue medium? Like, what kind of, can you explain a scenario that the listeners can connect to?
Well, I think we need to define rescue mediumship first, because there's so many people out there that don't even know what that is.
That's
I mean,
true.
I will, you know, walk up and say, yes, I'm a rescue medium. And they're like, huh? They do not know what that is. Everybody, for the most part, understands mediumship. And if you understand mediumship, which a lot of people don't even understand the true nature of mediumship, they only know one aspect of mediumship, which is the message work that so many mediums out there know. But there are many other forms of mediumship out there. Rescue is one of them. So when we talk of rescue, what does that mean? Well, what is rescue? Rescue is helping someone that is wounded or someone that's lost or scared or confused. And they're like, okay, well, do you help people that are alive that are scared and confused with spirit? And I said, sometimes. But the majority of rescue mediumship work is helping spirits that are wounded, that are lost and scared and confused. And then that draws up a whole other scenario of, I didn't know spirits could be lost, scared, or confused. I thought they all went into the light and they're all perfect. They've got wings as soon as they get to the other side. And that's when education is important to explain the law of free will. And at someone's death process, they can decide not to go into the light. For various reasons, they decide to stay behind. Usually, these reasons are pretty heavy and pretty emotional and pretty hard for the spirit. So they're in the state of crisis or wounding or even confusion. A rescue medium connects with these spirits to counsel them regarding whatever it is they're holding on to, whatever it is they're in crisis about, and then works with their spirit team, their guides, their angels, the masters. And we become the advocates, the mediators between the two, but we help facilitate the spirits crossing back into the light. So rescue mediums devote their attention to what we call earthbound spirits. These are spirits that haven't transitioned all the way into the light, and we work with them to help them heal.
And
I think it's
sometimes just spirit comes to you.
You know, there's so many different ways that it can be done. If, you know, spirit can find you, you can find the spirit. Somebody can come to you like a client, or someone comes to you and says, I have an attachment. Another person can say, I feel my house is haunted. There are so many different ways that these spirits can come to you. And however it comes is how it's supposed to come.
Yeah. So can you tell us of a story where or an experience that you had that was challenging?
Oh, gosh. You know, I will tell you my first experience. I always go to my first. And I was sitting, I was like 23, 24 years old in this development circle group. And we're like, okay, we're going to take you into meditation. We're going to open you up to a spirit. They're going to come through, we're going to communicate, and then we'll share at the end. Okay, this, you know, I can do this. So they take us in this guided meditation, and all of a sudden, there's this spirit right in front of my face, and she's covered in blood, and she's holding a knife covered in blood,
oh, no.
And her hair is disheveled, and she's looking at me with these dark eyes, and then she looks down like this, and I look down, and she has two small children dead, covered in blood, and then she looks back at me with these most sinister eyes. And she says, I just killed myself and my children. What are you going to do about it? And I'm just like, she's right in my face. And I'm like, I'm like, line, what do I say? What do I do? And it just flowed out of me. I just started counseling her. It's okay, you know, we all make mistakes. You know, this isn't as bad as it seems. This is just one experience. You need to be able to let go. And she kind of looks and just, you know, shakes it off like I don't know what I'm talking about. And I'm like, I don't know what to do. And I just heard, it was like a light that came out. And in the light was a voice, and it says, you keep doing what you're doing, she's going to be just fine. And all of a sudden, they pulled us out of the meditation. And everyone's going around and they're sharing their experiences. And they came to me. I'm like, no, I'm going to pass.
Oh.
I'm not going to share. You know, I didn't really get anything. And just about every experience after that was the same. I would have all of these spirits coming to me in crisis or in trauma or really, really dark spirits. And they would just smother me in the very beginning. Sleeping at night was very challenging because as you go into the sleep state, your vibrational frequency starts to shift. I used to have things crawling up my bed that looked very demonic. I used to have people standing, shadow figures standing over my bed, screaming at me in the middle of the night. I would have these huge black spiders crawling along my ceiling. And all of this in the dark.
Yeah.
Every night for years. Years.
That's gotta be so
Wow.
hard.
So that was just one experience out of, I would say, countless at this point. And that's why so many people don't get involved in rescue mediumship because they want to help, they want to heal, they want to feel that great, loving embrace, helping a soul transition, but they don't want the dark stuff. And
Yeah.
I will not judge, like, yep, it's not right. It's not for everyone. It's really not because there are so many things in that plane of existence on that lower form that influence earthbound spirits. And they're not spirits, they are very dark. And if you're going in and you're attracting earthbound spirits and you're attracting everything else that is attracted to them.
I'm one of those.
So it can be very challenging in the work that we do.
And I remember in your attachment removal class, I came out one day after a couple of earthbounds that needed counseling approached me in dreams, basically in dream
Right.
state. And I came to you and I said, I think I'm supposed to deal with malevolent, demonic, lower level type beings. And you just gave me a nod and a smile. You're like, But
I
it took me a
can't
while to
tell
remember
you.
that.
It's a choice. It is. No one should could ever tell you need to do this other than your guides. But once you made that realization that that's what you're supposed to, which I knew all along. Yep. When you get called to that work, it's not because there's anything wrong with you. It's because you are so bright and so strong that you can handle going into the dark and not being influenced by it. Only a select few get called to that work. So when you said it, I was like, yep, I have no doubt.
So you had something to say?
Yeah, it's just, you know, why is it so important that the earthbounds are rescued? Just for so that people know that, you know, what effect can it have in the third dimension, in the day-to-day life? What can it do to them? And why is it people should pay attention and you know, really reach out to a rescue medium to do this, like and make sure that the spirit.
Awesome question. And there are
Yeah,
many.
elaborate on that, like just the attachment as well, right? Like they're, for example, if they were a drug addict when they passed and they fragmented and became earthbound, and now they're attracted to that energy of somebody else that has a drug problem, for example, and they attach to that person, like kind of just expanding on that.
That's one reason. The main reason is because we care. We don't want spirits to feel trauma or pain or suffering. It is a state of suffering. Granted, it's suffering by choice. It's all self-imposed suffering. They choose to be in that state. But just like you see someone in pain here in the physical world, we want to help. We're empathetic to their suffering and we want to be able to give them the help they need. There are some out there that don't want help, and that's fine. We just let them have their space until they're ready for help. Another reason to help the earthbound spirits is to help shift the global consciousness of the planet. It's huge. When earthbound, the more earthbound spirits are actually on the planet, the lower the density of the vibrational frequency of the collectiveness of the planet. So you have all these millions of fragments of consciousness forms that are holding a tremendous amount of dense negative emotions and thoughts. Don't you think that's going to influence us?
Of course.
We're looking to shift our consciousness and ascend upward, that we have to clear the earthbound spirits from our third dimension space so that we don't fill that heavy blanket. That heavy blanket influences us on a vibrational and energetic way. So many people get influenced by having an earthbound spirit in their vicinity, in their environment. So helping the earthbound spirit move on is in our benefit just as much as it's in theirs.
So how many, if you think of it from your expert opinion, think about the whole global population, how many of us have an attachment that we don't even know about?
Well, it depends on the type of attachment. I don't want people thinking, oh, I have a ghost in me. It's not necessarily like that. So before we talk about the percentage, I want to talk about the types of attachments. There's something called earthbound spirit attachment, which is usually a fragmented form of someone's soul that stayed behind to find resolution. They're carrying heavy baggage, earthbound spirit. We also have manifested energy. So the earthbound spirit can project energy. We do energy projections all the time. They can project and have something called manifested thought form. We ourselves can have manifested thought forms. We usually feel they're very demonic, but really they're just self-created from our own thoughts and emotions because we're constantly projecting energy around us all the time. Then we have the interdimensionals, we have the multidimensionals, we have the true demonic attachments. We have some really, really nasty things lower than that that's out there as well. And then we have many fragments of other people's souls. See, even if you're alive, you can still have soul fragmentation. Your soul can splinter during crisis or trauma. And that fragmentation of your consciousness can wander around and attach onto other people that they're going to find resolution with. Say that your energy feels like a healer or it feels like a medium, or you feel like you're a teacher. It's going to be drawn to your energy because it feels that it can get the help it needs. So with the many different types of attachments we have, you're looking at 90% of the population on the planet having some form of attachment.
Wow.
So
That's crazy.
most people have attachments and are not aware, and they're being affected by it and not even know that they are. And this is.
As enlightened as this world is, only 1% of the population has a very high vibrational frequency, which we call the spiritual leaders. They would never have an attachment unless their ego got in the way, which has happened. So the other 99% of the population has a chance of attachment when their energy fluctuates from high vibration to low vibration, depending on the scenario that they're facing. And when people start opening up to their spirituality, their consciousness and awareness shifts. They're now able to see things that they haven't been able to see before. But what they don't realize is now that they can see everything, everything can now see them. You now move into alignment of being seen by everything in that space. And so your vibrational frequency is going to determine what level in the astral plane you're going to now be seen in. So your energy dictates whether you'll have an attachment or not. 90% of the population on this planet is going through something that lowers their vibrational frequency one time or another, that puts them in a vulnerable place, that puts them just at the right frame of view for things that are on a denser vibration.
Like attracts like.
Yeah.
Yes.
And you know, even when I first realized, I was telling myself and I was telling others around me, I have an attachment. I have an attachment. There's something with me. There's something with me. I can just feel it. And everybody thought I was crazy. But once I opened up my perspective to that, that's when I found you. I came across your book, Into the Light and Light the Way. And I haven't had the opportunity to read your new book yet, but I'm going to download that.
Which is all about attachments, by the way.
Yeah, exactly. But you helped me, you validated that for me.
Right.
You helped me see what it was and why it was there. And once I connected to that story, I was able to talk to it, you know, in a sense, right? And
Right.
connect to it and counsel it. And I didn't realize that I was capable of doing those things, which led me to going to your course and attending your course, because I felt like I had these skills and abilities that I needed to understand better. And I did after taking your courses, right?
Well, many people actually find their way into attachment removal training after they've had the personal experience themselves because they don't want other people to experience or go through what they went through. Some could be very traumatic. Some people have attachments for 30 years of their life, have taken over their whole life. They finally found some reprieve, some peace through it, and now they dedicate their whole lives to helping others through that scenario. So I'm training those that have gone through it. And then I've gone through it, had over 100 attachments myself, because my guides believe the best teachers experience.
Yeah, exactly. It is.
So throw it at her, boys. So
Yeah.
throw it everything at me. I learned through my own experiences. I learned through the downloads and the training I received from Spirit. And I wouldn't say it's perfect, but it's surely effective. And it definitely helps people. And then I always say, take what I can give you and then master it on your own. Find your own techniques. Be able to experience what is the way you like to do it. Take the knowledge I can give you and build upon it from there. I think that's where our attachment removal masters will come from, is through their own unique experiences and their desire to help others.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's so important, the work that you guys do. It can help others, and there's so many that are experiencing this and have no idea that this is happening. And then, through your own experiences, you guys and training, the help that you're able to offer is
Well, I think there needs to be more awareness of what the symptoms are of attachments and how people can actually determine whether they have one or not. And if we're saying 90% of the population has attachment, then you probably need to assume you have one.
Yeah.
One, and I don't want you thinking attachment that is going to hurt you or harm you or their intention is malicious. It's not. The majority of attachments are actually just found their way into you because they felt comfort or some type of peace and they wanted to rest. They just wanted to be in there because you had a nice, comfy place, like a couch with a blanket, where they're like, okay, I feel like this person can help me. They may be holding a lot of dense energy. They may be holding a lot of negativity. But then if
Drained.
you're looking at someone here in the physical world and they're going through depression, anxiety, they're suicidal, that doesn't make them a bad person. It just means they're going through bad things. So when these people find their way into you, it influences you and you immediately think you're under attack. Whereas they're looking to have you help them. Most people don't have that awareness. They don't know what to do.
And that's when everything changed for me, when that perspective changed for me, where I was like, they're not here to harm me. Even though the one that I had was malevolent, it was my duty, and I felt like I needed to be in service to it and help it go into the light. And it
Right.
took some talking to it and convincing it, but that's what it wanted at the end of the day. It didn't really want to hurt me, right?
No. I think about it. The majority of people that do harm on this planet, they do it because they're hurting themselves.
Yeah.
They don't really want to do it. They think they do, but what they really want is love. And so when you're dealing with a lot of these negative spirits or entities, they're looking at you like, I'm going to harm you, but they want to harm you because they're hurting inside. They don't know what else to do. So you can come to it going, well, I'm going to attack you myself, or I'm going to defend and I'm going to fight you. which isn't going to help anybody, you know. Or you can come to us and say, you know what, I understand, I'm standing in my power, I'm not going to let you do this, but I'm going to help you find the people that you need to get you the resolution and peace that you're looking for. That's the better way of doing it. But most people don't know how to do that. That takes an awful lot of training to be able to get yourself into that place. So that's why they come to people like myself or with you, because we can help guide them through that experience and be the ones that come in to do the actual attachment removal, because we can hold space for that spirit.
Yeah. And that's the thing. I mean, thank you so much for doing this, because if it weren't for you, then I wouldn't be able to be in service of the people that I've been in service of and help and guide them and remove attachments that I connected to for them. And I've seen progress. And you know, there was a couple of people where they told me that they were feeling so much better and certain things were happening in their life. And I was in tears. I was, you know, happy tears, but it felt so good to be able to help somebody like that. And I wouldn't have been able to be in this position without you. So thank you so much for what you do. And, you know, with all that said, you offer so many services. You have a website, amymajor.com. You've written 3 books, which are all amazing. And you have a university now where you teach rescue mediumship. And, you know, you can bring these skills to the surface and these abilities to the surface, because we all have them within us. So where can our listeners learn more about you? Where can we connect with you? How can we connect with you?
Usually through my website, amymajor.com, I have a little box in the bottom that says, send me a comment or send me a note. I love getting it that way. Other people find me through social media resources as well. You can go on YouTube, you can go on all different sorts, and you can see some of the interviews. And if you just type in my name with interview, I've done so many of them and we talk, and there's so much wealth of information there that a lot of people find out about. They can also, you know, buy my books. My books are designated to train and to help people understand. They do have stories, but the majority of it is informational.
Yeah.
So, and I do have my 4th book that my guides are pinging me on that I have to start writing soon as well. But if you do want to train in this work, I highly suggest going to my school that is now online. And it's called the Spirit Rescue Center. And I believe the address is spiritrescuecenter.com. And what we are is we are more than just a school, we're a community. We're going to have chat features. We're going to have all sorts of community features for people of like-mindedness to come together and share their experiences as well through this online forum and community and online school platform. And then I also created an online platform for chatting on Facebook, and it's called Rescue Mediumship. Facebook, unfortunately, deleted my account for some reason. I had thousands and thousands of people following and listening and learning, and they just stripped it. I have like had to start from scratch. Yeah, wow. 10 years worth, all gone. And Facebook said, sorry, not much we could do about it. So
no.
It doesn't seem like there's a large following. It's just because I'm starting from scratch again here. But you can still contact me. I did create a new Facebook page. And it's just, you know, Googling Amy Major, I'm the first one that pops up with that. I love people coming and connecting. Just realize I have so many emails, direct messages, text messages. It might take a few days for me to get back to you. If it does, don't take it personally. Just realize I'm going to get it back to you as soon as I can. Because your comments, your questions, it does mean a lot to me. So I appreciate it.
And to all of the people who are still struggling with believing this side of the world, you know, that world that's unseen, people who are struggling mentally with anxiety, with depression, with mental health in general, what can you say to connect with them? What can you say to help them see this side of it?
Well, the first thing I always say, and I have to say, is never stop seeing a doctor, a professional doctor that's going to be able to assist you. Because I am a spiritual counselor, I'm a minister, but I am not a counselor or psychiatrist. So if you have been diagnosed with some type of mental disorder of any sorts, continue to see your doctor. But you should also look at other avenues. You should look at, what are my symptoms? Do my symptoms fall in line with any of the metaphysical or spiritual symptoms? Start asking questions. Start having intuitives read your energy. Start going into meditation, asking your guides, asking for spirit to show you signs of what you should be doing with your energy. Always, always get the help you need, but investigate. Look at other ways that can help you heal, because there's more way than one. Reach out to someone. I do something called energy evaluations. I can read your energy and tell you whether I believe you have a gift, whether I believe you have certain energies that are open that may explain some of the symptoms that you have. But if I also see, which I have many times in the past, if I also see there's a biological or chemical reason for what you're experiencing, I will also tell you that, and that you need to follow up with the doctor. Because spirits can provoke chemical reactions in the brain, causing biological symptoms of mental health. So that doesn't mean it's the only thing you have. It just means if you do have that, then you want to be seen and get the help you need.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Amy, for joining us today. It's been phenomenal. I had a lot of fun. It was so informative. And I always learn so much when I meet with you. And so we got to definitely do this again sometime.
Absolutely.
Sure.
A lot of fun. I'm so proud of you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. I really do appreciate you.
I appreciate both of you. Keep doing what you're doing. Onwards and upwards. It's what I always say.
That's right. Thank you so much.
Thank you.